have your Bibles this morning. Book of Ruth, a little four-chapter book. It's about a little girl, a young lady. We can learn so much from her, every one of us in this room. And my prayer is that this is the Christmas season, that we can learn from her this morning. You know, Susan went to heaven about 2.5 years ago. This April will be 3 years. And I miss being able to have someone to take care of. I can remember for 8 years of her life, the last 8 years when she lost her leg, it was trying to pick her up and put her in bed or pick her up and help her wherever she needed to be. And I enjoyed taking care of her. I can't do that now, and I miss that. I miss being able to carry someone. And so I'll get later on what you can do if you have a healthy husband or wife, if you have a healthy family. I just so happened to have one that was physically broken. And it was a great joy to my heart. I want you to notice today the principle of learning to carry someone. Christmas has come. Everybody in this room, we have family members that need someone to carry them. All of us in this room, there'll become a point in time in your life where you'll need somebody to carry you. Maybe it's a short distance, but you'll get broken down. The old devil will see to it. And when you do, you need someone there to help carry you to the next place. Ruth did that for Naomi. And I want us to learn the lessons this morning on how to carry someone, how to help someone get from a place of brokenness to a place of joy. Now, if you have your Bible, Ruth chapter 1, I want you to look at Naomi. I'll give you five L's this morning. Look at Naomi. Notice, if you would, in verse number 15 of chapter 1, and she said, "Behold, thy sister-in-law has gone back unto her people and unto her gods." Do you realize what that statement means? The gods of the Moabites were false gods. They would die and go to hell. They would never know the joys of heaven. And Naomi was so broken spiritually. Now, she was saved, but she was so broken, she was willing to send her daughter-in-laws back to false gods. Why? How broken that must be. Notice with me, if you would, number one, she had lost her husband in death. They'd moved from Israel to Moab because they had food. There was a famine. So she had forsaken everything in Israel, given up their land, and gone to Moab. Okay, so her and her husband, you'll notice if you would in verse 1, came to pass in the days when the judges ruled that there was a famine in the land. And you'll notice in verse 1, and a certain man of Bethlehem, Judah, went to sojourn in the country of Moab, he and his wife and his two sons. Now, while they were in Moab, the two sons had married two girls of the Moabites. Now, one, that was forbidden in Israel, because the Moabites did not serve the God of heaven. And so the Lord said, look, marry Israelites, people that know me and want to follow me. So God is concerned that we know Christ, that we are on our way to heaven. Well, they had drifted into this land of Moab, and her and her husband had agreed, said, okay, well, we are here for a while. Okay, you like this Moabite woman? Okay, well, Mahlon will let you marry her. Okay, Chilion will let you marry her. So they did. And before either one of them had children, her husband dies. So she's got something in her heart. Lord, why would you let my husband die? Now, you've got to realize in this day, when a husband died, it made it very difficult on a wife. They didn't just go down and get a job at Target. They didn't just go down and get a job as a secretary. They worked in the fields and made things at home. And now life was three times as hard. And so she's struggling, and then a son dies. And then she's got to take care of a daughter-in-law and herself. And then another son dies. So now she's lost all three men in her family. And she becomes bitter. She becomes angry. She becomes deeply hurt. If you have your Bible, turn to Ruth chapter 1. Look with me, if you would, in verse 20. And she said unto them, call me not Naomi, or blessing, call me Mara, for the Almighty hath dealt very bitterly with me. So she's a bitter woman. So keep in mind, here's Naomi and Orpha. They're the two daughters-in-law. And she says, look to both of them. Go back to your families. Go back to your gods. Leave me alone. And so Orpha says, okay, and she goes back. But Naomi had seen something about the gods, her own gods, and said, they don't seem to be real to me, but your God is real to me. If you have your Bible, turn me if you would, and notice with me in this passage, take your Bible and turn, if you would, in chapter 2, verse 12. The Lord recompense unto thy work. This is a man speaking to Ruth. The Lord recompense thy work, and a full reward be given thee of the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings thou art come to trust. So here, Ruth has put her faith and trust in the God of heaven, because she saw something at the beginning in Naomi's God. Now, she watched Naomi change from this happy married woman that was excited about life to see a woman that turned bitter and sorrowful and not wanting anybody around her, a loner. Oh man, she was a broken lady. And so you'll notice with me, if you would, if you look at Naomi, you'll see a woman that no one really wants to be around. She's trying to get everybody away from her. She's trying to be alone. She has no future. She has no future dreams. All is lost. Now, maybe you're here today and you've had some brokenness in your heart. And you've gotten to the point where you say, you know, I just don't know what to do. Well, I want you to understand that many times the Lord puts someone like that on our hearts. Now, it's amazing to me that here's this young Moabite woman that knows nothing of the Jewish God except that he's wonderful. And she puts her faith and trust in him. But even then, Naomi tries to send her back to her false gods. And so she said, look, I don't have any other future, except Naomi comes up to, Ruth comes up to Naomi and said, look, entreat me. Please don't send me back to my gods. Let me be with you. Look, if you would, in verse number 16 of chapter 1. And she says, entreat me not. Please don't plead with me to go back. She said, or to return from following after thee. Now, why would she want to go follow a bitter old woman? Because somehow God had placed Naomi on her heart. And she was a young Christian girl, and she saw the great God of heaven, and Naomi represented that great God, even though she had lost her way. So you'll notice, if you would, in verse 16, where thou lodgest, I will lodge, and thy people shall be my people, and thy God. Now you'll notice the word thy God is singular. She knew that the God of Israel was one God, and the gods of Moab were many gods. Notice, if you would, back in verse 15, and it says, behold, thy sister-in-law has gone back unto her people and unto her gods, plural. So you can see that she said, look, go back to all your gods. And she said, oh no, entreat me not to leave me. I must be with you. There's something about your God that I want to know more of. Well, notice, if you would, in verse 17, where thou diest will I die, and there will I be buried. The Lord do so in me, and more also, if aught but death part me and thee. Now, there is such a dedication to Naomi, a bitter old woman. Why? Because God had placed in Ruth's heart to carry her. And you know, there are people in this room and people in your families that maybe the Lord places on your heart to help carry them a little distance. Maybe it would be years. Maybe it would be months. Maybe it'd be a few weeks. But you've got somebody that's hurting, that's having a hard time. Something has happened. And it's going to happen to all of us in this room. And so it's time for us, when the Holy Spirit puts it on our heart, we carry them. We may carry them in faith. I've just counted up this morning. Somebody came up to me, and I'm counting 11 people on my prayer list that are lost, that do not know the Lord as Savior. And I pray for them every morning. Lord, please, would you save so-and-so? Folks, as far as I know, I'm the only one praying for those 11 people. So the burden on my heart is to carry them into faith in Christ. And so there are people in this room that God is going to burden your heart. Don't just look in the mirror and say, boy, I need to get a better job, or I need to make a little more money. I need to save this. Or I need a little more in my 401k, or I want a little bigger house, a little nicer this. Who is it has God placed in your heart that when you step foot inside heaven, the Lord says, you did a good job carrying so-and-so? They're here today because of your prayers. Thank you. Well, here's Ruth, and she said, don't ask me to leave you because I want to be with you. I want to live where you live and serve the God that you serve and die where you die. What a young lady. Now, I want you to notice, number one is look at Naomi, bitter old woman. Number two, let's learn from Ruth, okay? Ruth is one that said, I want to be with you. Somehow she had gotten to the point where she said, I don't care what you give back to me. I want to give to you. I want to help you. Now that is the agape love of the New Testament. Because love normally is, what do I get out of it? It's really today, the love of a marriage is 50-50. You put in 50 and I put in 50. But the love of God is, I put in 100%. And if I don't get anything back, that's between you and the Lord. That is rare. She learned, I'm going to put in 100%. And if I don't get something back, it's okay. Now, no one wants to live like that all the days of your life. But Ruth said, look, I'm willing to. Learn from Ruth. Her willingness to carry someone with nothing in return is absolutely unbelievable when I read this passage. You know, there are going to be places when somebody's broken, they can't give much back. When someone is facing cancer and they're fighting for their lives, it's not like they can turn to you and be good to you necessarily. Their focus is trying to get their chemo done, trying to go to the doctor and back and forth, and somebody's got to be there to support them and to carry them a little bit. She's not here this morning, I don't think. Is Pat here? Okay, good. I can talk about her. Pat Arnold is on dialysis. She's been on dialysis for many years. Wednesday night, I said, Pat, she said, Pastor, I just don't really have the energy to come to church sometimes. And I said, I'm going to pray for you to get your heart right. And she would just laugh at me back and forth. But you know what I know? I saw when Susan's kidneys failed. I saw the strength that it took to just get up and get dressed. And then to try to make it to church. And sometimes I have to pick her up and put her in her wheelchair so she could push the joystick to come to church. And I see Pat as she walks in the door sometimes. She's walking in just like this, and somebody's got her by the elbow to bring her in. You know why? She loves to come to this place, but somebody's got to carry Miss Pat. And you know, when her dialysis center got flooded, how many of you have helped take Pat to the dialysis center? Would you raise your hand? All over the building. Just read them. See, I see hands all over the place. That's carrying somebody. But you know what? You don't get much out of it. How many of them did she pay you? That's what I thought. You see, you're just doing something to be gracious. You're carrying somebody. How many of you have prayed for Pat? Raise your hand. Let me see it. Look at it. Wait a minute. Raise it up. Good and high. You've prayed for Pat. Look at it. Look here. Look around. Keep them up. That's carrying somebody. You know what? Our churches, we don't know how to carry people. I want you to do something for me. What's in it for me? I didn't enjoy my Sunday school class. I didn't enjoy this or that. And folks, it's just our nature. We're all that way. I'm that way sometimes. And I have to say, Lord, forgive me. I don't want to be like that. Lord, what can I do to be a blessing? Do you understand today? Ruth carried Naomi. Learn from Ruth. She said, I'm 100%, not 50. Today's marriages are 50% him, 50% her. And if I don't get what I the other 50% out of it, I'm done. But what God says, it's all in. It's 100%, and it doesn't matter what I get out of it. That's Ruth here in this passage. Learn from Ruth. Now, I want you to notice this. Number three, you got to lower your expectations of what you get out of things. We go into certain relationships or in certain things. I've got this job, and well, I hope to get this and this and this out of it. But when you're making up your mind, I'm willing to carry somebody. When you volunteer to carry somebody, you have to lower the expectations of what you get back. Because you may not get much back, if anything. I just think about, you know, my uncle. He was unsaved. Probably the foulest mouthed man I've ever met in my life. He could not speak two sentences without filthy words. I just couldn't imagine. Self-made man, 6'3", 240, just didn't have much fear of anything. He was 70-something years old, and he got saved on his deathbed. And I have no idea how God did it, but he sent a couple of people, couldn't even figure out who they were, to his hospital room and led him to Christ just before he died. But I remember praying for him for 30, 40 years. My father prayed for him. There weren't three people prayed for him that I know of. But by God's grace, he's in heaven today because some people carried him. Now, what did we get out of it? I never got a thank you. I never even got a word about it. I just heard about it from somebody that is at the hospital. And you know what? It's okay. The fruit was good enough, but you got to lower your expectations of what you're going to get back if you're willing to carry somebody. It's a little easier. Maybe your mate is sick and you're trying to take care of them. How many of you are pleasant when you're sick? Don't raise your hand. How many of you are not as pleasant when you're sick? Okay? You know, I'll admit it. I'm not that fun to be around when I'm sick, you know? The whole world's upside down. You know, I just don't enjoy being sick. Man, it's just miserable to me. I just want to get better quick. And so because I am sick, just leave me alone and let me die slowly. Leave me alone, okay? And so, you know, it is so nice to have someone who comes in and says, look, would you like some soup? I hate soup. Would you like some? And, you know, you just, okay, I'll take some. And they bring it in and you know, you got in a bowl and a plate and it's got it on one of those little carry-on things. You sit down in front of it. You're sitting in there and you feel terrible. They're just nice to you. Isn't that wonderful? They're carrying you. But isn't it even nicer when they look at you and say, I thank you for being good to me. I know I'm not feeling very well, but thank you for being good to me. But what happens if you don't get that? What happens if you're Abigail and you're married to Nabal? The Bible says he was a churlish man. Smart aleck, short, mean-spirited, and she was a pleasant, sweet lady. She carried him until God said, I'm sick of that guy, and took him out. And he died. He gave him a heart attack. 10 days, he had a heart attack. And 10 days, he had a chance to repent and didn't take it. And so he died. But all this time, there's this sweet-spirited Abigail that's taking care of him. She said, I know my husband is a mean-spirited man, but would you forgive him? She carried him to David. She spared his life in front of David's life. And so I think all of us in this room, we have to learn from Ruth. Don't expect much back if you're willing to carry somebody. Now, children, you know, if you got a little newborn, you don't get anything back. You change diapers, you have to lose sleep. I mean, all that stuff. A mom doesn't get anything back then except the sweetness of joy of being able to have that little one to hold it. That's it. but they're not giving you much. You know, and then they get a little bit older, and you know, if we're not careful, you have to learn to love without getting much back. All of us in this room, have you learned to carry somebody, and learn from Ruth, lower your expectation for what you get back. Now, you'll never be able to carry somebody if you don't lower your expectations. Never. Because you don't get much in return. And bitterness comes in when you give out, and don't get much back if you expect it. That's the way bitterness starts. It starts very quickly. Now, you know, we've got men on the list here for snow plowing. Sign up Saturday. And so when it comes to we get a big snowstorm. And I can remember getting a snowstorm of 2 feet. And man, we had snow that high in the parking lot. And I remember they had snow blowers on the roof, getting the snow off the roof, thinking we're afraid the roof collapse in. And you know, there were guys came up here and they worked all day and they snow plowed and they got the sidewalks all cleared. Now, it was that high, but you could walk on the sidewalk. I mean, it was like this. But it was snow all over the place. And I never heard one guy say, "Wow, I did a lot of work." Nobody noticed. They were just trying to be a blessing. You have to lower your expectation for what you get back if you're going to carry anybody, if you're going to be a blessing to somebody else. How many of us in this room love your mate enough to carry them when they need it? Nothing in return. It's an unusual characteristic of only the godly. Now, number three, I want you to see this. Labor diligently. Look at this. Take your Bible and turn to Ruth chapter 2. Ruth chapter 2. When we look at Naomi, you can see a bitter old woman. When you learn from Ruth, you can see somebody that was willing to carry somebody no matter the cost. But then when you have to lower your expectations, sometimes it caused bitterness. It didn't with Ruth. Notice, if you would, Ruth chapter 2, verse 2. Ruth the Moabite has said unto Naomi, "Let me now go into the fields and glean ears of corn after him in whose sight I shall find grace." And she had said unto her, "Go, my daughter." So, in other words, she's willing to labor for her and her mother-in-law. She's willing to do the work of two people. And notice with me, if you would, as she's beginning to work here, she's trying to labor diligently. Look at verse number 7. And she said, "I pray you, let me glean and gather after the reapers among the sheaves." So she came and hath continued even from the morning until now that she tarried in the house, a little in the house. She worked all day long in the hot sun, gleaning foodstuffs, sheaves. She's going to take them out and winnow them to get a little bit of wheat to make, or barley to make loaves with. So she goes and works all day long for her and Naomi. You know, many times if you're going to carry somebody, it costs great labor. You have to labor diligently. I mean, it's not just you can do a little bit. It costs you something. But you don't mind. You just don't mind. You get caught up in a labor of love, but not if you're interested in getting something back. To carry somebody means you do things for them without expecting anything in return. And so you have to learn to labor diligently. I see she works all day long. She said, "Look, I'm going to go." I want you to notice the mother-in-law, Naomi, didn't say, "Hey, we don't have much to eat. Why don't you go out and labor for us some?" It was Ruth that said, "Look, I got to go, Naomi, and get us some food to eat." If you carry somebody, you have to come up with the ideas. You have to. They're not going to come up with it. They're broken. And folks, today, Christians, God needs some people that have eyes for others. You got to have eyes for others. You've got to see the needs. Now, I got to be frank with you. You know, when Susan lost her leg and couldn't function very well, she never complained about it. I was the one that complained about it. I mean, in order for her to get her shower in our house, how many of you got a little 2-foot shower door, you know, a glass door? How many of you know what I'm talking about? You got a little shower door, it opens up and you go in. Well, if you got a leg that's missing, you can't get in that shower door. And I remember taking a bucket, trying to figure out how can she take a shower. So I got a bucket and put a towel over it. And I would pick her up out of her wheelchair, put her through that 2-foot door and set her on the bucket. She'd take her shower, pick her up, put her back out there and put her back in the wheelchair. And she was perfectly content with that. I said, we're not doing this forever. I said, I want to make it where you can take care of yourself. You can enjoy yourself. Now, understand this. I was getting something back in this. I got satisfaction out of it. Watching her be happy, I was getting something back out of it. So there was a little bit of selfishness to that, I guess you could say. So when I go, you're not going to sell this house and build a house where you can function. And so I was looking, and I got the joy out of watching her eyes. I got something out of it. But to be able to do something for somebody and get nothing back, that's tough. No matter what you do, they don't get sweeter. They're not appreciative. No, that was not Susan. She was always appreciative and just got sweeter and sweeter the more broken she got. I noticed Miss Pat is very sweet, very appreciative. Today, are you willing to carry somebody diligently? Are you willing to work hard? Are you willing to sweat and labor but not get much back? You know, look, it's Christmas. Hey, Christmas is about giving. But if we're not careful, we'll give and say, well, they didn't say thank you. We'll give, but we do expect something back. Learn to labor diligently and forget yourself. You'll notice, if you would, in verse number seven, so she came and hath continued even from the morning until now. Morning until night, and just went in the house for a little bit for a snack for lunch. She's been diligent. Do you understand today that if you're going to carry anybody, you got to forget yourself? You got to just say, I'm going to labor diligently and forget the results. Now, I want you to notice the last one is God lavishes blessings on those that do that. God lavishes blessings on those that are just faithful. Notice here, Ruth, she goes out and she says, I'm going to pick a field. And I'm just going to go out and pick this field and I'm going to start working in it. And so she finds this one field, and it's a nice field. She's got several to choose from. And she goes out and picks this field. Lord, would you bless? I don't know where to go. Just show me. Now, it's not written there, but I guarantee you that would be her heart. She goes into this field and starts working. And notice with me, if you would, in verse 3. And she went and came and gleaned in the field after the reapers. And her hap, that's a Hebrew word for her chance, or her opportunity, was to light on a part of the field belonging to Boaz. Now, this part, in the Old Testament, they had what called a kinsman redeemer. So in other words, if you had a piece of land and the husband had died, then you could buy that piece of land. But if you bought that piece of land, you had to take the woman that went with it, and all the children born went to his name. And so the inheritance went to his children's name. But you got the chance to buy the field. So she didn't know anything about it. Her happen chance was to light on the field of Boaz. Now, God does that. And so the blessing's just getting started, and she doesn't even know what this means. She has no clue about this kinsman redeemer thing. And now notice, if you would, look if you would, in verse number 20. And Naomi said unto her daughter-in-law, blessed be he of the Lord, who hath not left off his kindness to the living and to the dead. Oh, God's beginning to be good to us. Naomi said unto her, the man is near of kin unto us, one of our next kinsmen. Now, Naomi knew all about it, but Ruth, she doesn't. It's just God's blessing to her. Now, the blessing comes after the decision to say, I'm going to labor diligently with nothing in return. Lord, for you. I'm going to labor for you. And God says, you can't outgive me. You can't outdo me. Now, notice if you would, I love this part, verse 16, chapter 2, verse 15. And when she was risen up to glean, Boaz commanded his young men, saying, let her glean even among the sheaves, and reproach her not. Let fall also some of the handfuls of purpose for her, and leave them, that she may glean them and rebuke her not. Now let me explain that passage to you. In the Old Testament, they did not have welfare. Their welfare was this. If you got a field, and let's say this is the field, okay? The auditorium's a field. Over in this corner, you don't harvest this corner. You don't harvest that corner. You don't harvest that corner. And you don't harvest that corner. You leave it for the poor. So when they get hungry, they can come out and they can hack down the barley and take the sheaves themselves. That way they labor, but they didn't have to plant it. And so they can eat something. Now, it's not a lot, but they can stay alive. So every person that had fields had to leave the corners empty where they couldn't touch them. Well, so she's out in the field, the corner, and she's laboring. And pretty soon, Boaz said, oh, my goodness, this lady is faithful. She is the one that's carrying Naomi. Would you tell her? Well, guys, look, whenever you cut, and you would take a shock of wheat like this, and you would cut it with your knife. And as you would cut it with your knife, you'd roll it over, tie it up, lay it on the ground. And they'd come and pick those up. He says, when you do that, would you cut it and take a little bit of it and put it on the ground near her so she doesn't have to go back in the corner and cut it herself? Would you make it easy for her? Give her some handfuls on purpose. Now, I want you to understand that today. God gives people that carry others handfuls on purpose. And yet, we don't even see it sometimes. We don't realize what God is doing. I don't think Ruth saw it for a while. And yet, I see all of the benefits that are starting to happen to Ruth. She's in the right field. She's getting the handfuls on purpose. And then all of a sudden, you'll notice, if you would, take your Bible and turn to chapter number 21. And Ruth, the Moabitess, this is chapter 2, said, he said unto me, thou shalt keep fast by my young men until they have ended all my harvest. Boaz looked at Ruth and said, look, would you just harvest in my field? And I'll take care of you. Now, she didn't know what that meant. But now the kinsman redeemer is getting ready to take place. So you'll notice that, we don't have much time left, but you'll notice that Naomi said, oh my, God is stepping in. God is doing something wonderful here. Look, you go and you just lay down at the feet in the evening at the feet of Boaz and say, like, I'd like for you to buy my field. And you lay at his feet. Nothing untoward happens. And he says, okay. And so he hears her say, he wakes up and there's a woman at his feet. He says, oh my goodness, what's going on? She said, I'm Ruth the Moabitess. Would you buy our field? And he says, okay, I will. And he said, but there's somebody closer to me. And so he has to go into town, meet that one that's closer. And that one that's closer said, oh, I don't want to spend my money on somebody else's family. You buy it. So he buys the field and Ruth becomes his wife. And he raises up, they have a little boy. His name is Boaz. That's a great grandfather of King David, who's the great grandfather of Jesus Christ. So not only does she get a chance to have a little one. So now notice, if you would, take your Bible and turn to Ruth chapter 4. And notice, with, if you would, verse 14. Ruth 4:14. And the women said unto Naomi, blessed be the Lord, which hath not left thee this day without a kinsman. Now notice verse 15. And he shall be unto thee a restorer of thy life. You are a broken woman, Naomi, but God is restoring your life. How is it? Through Ruth. Because Ruth said, I can carry you. Now she didn't say those words. She didn't know she was doing it. But she said, look, you and I will work together. I'll help you. I'll take care of you. Look, let's work together. And she realized that Naomi couldn't do much. She wasn't giving anything into the relationship. Now notice, if you would, verse number 15. He shall be unto thee a restorer of thy life and a nourisher of thine old age. Well, who doesn't want that? For thy daughter-in-law, which loveth thee. Now, folks, that's the key to rich blessing, is that you love the people you're carrying. You got to love whoever. You got to love the Lord first. And Lord, because I love you, I'm going to carry them. Now, folks, let me just say this to you. You carry people different ways. You can carry people by giving them a track. You're trying to get them to Christ. You can carry people by getting on your knees and saying, Lord, would you save this person? Would you help them through their difficulty? Folks, there's a God in heaven that hears prayers. But if we don't pray, there's a reason why our country is going the wrong way. It's because Christians don't get down and pour our hearts out, Lord, for people around us. We're not reaching our world. And so it's important that all of us in this room, that we learn to pick out somebody at work. We pick out our own families, and we say, Lord, help me to pray for that person. Pick them up and carry them. And then sometimes it's someone that you get close to, that you're close to. It could be a family member. It could be a brother or sister. And you just decide, I'm going to be good to them no matter what I get back. You carry them. Do you understand? It is exactly what Jesus did for you. He saw you, for all of sin comes short of the glory of God. He said, I'm not going to get much back from Dave Pittman, but I do love him. And so what I'm going to do is I'm going to die in his place. I'm going to be born in a crummy old manger. And if you've ever been in a manger, I'll tell you what. Mangers are not the nicest places in the world. I mean, there's flies, and if you're not careful, mangers can be a really nasty place. Can you imagine a newborn babe being born in a manger and it being the Son of God for me, for you? And then he lives a perfect life that we cannot live. And when it comes time, he's 33 years old. They say, you're a fake. You're a phony. But I healed. I fed 5,000 people one time, but you're still a fake. I remember walking into Lazarus' tomb and said, Lazarus, come forth. And he came forth in his grave clothes. He was dead, and I raised him from the dead. But we don't care. We don't like you. I healed the man on the side of the road. And he could have gone on all the different people. I went into villages and healed everybody in every village that I went to. They brought to me. No one went away needing. He said, we don't care. We don't want you around anymore. And so they crucified him. You know what he does? He carried me because he said, Father, forgive them. Father, forgive Dave Pittman. He doesn't know what he's doing. And he said, it is finished. He paid my debt of sin. He carried me to the opportunity of heaven. Now, what he did was he gave me a Sunday morning 52 years ago, and I was in church, and he carried me to that point to give me the opportunity to be saved. And he's carried everybody in this room. You have an opportunity to be saved this morning. If you've never trusted Christ as Savior, today's your opportunity. Jesus has carried you to this point. But you say, well, Pastor, I've trusted Christ as Savior. I know I'm going to heaven. Do you understand that he's carried you to this point for a purpose? You're not here just to amass wealth. You're not here just to be happy. You're here as an ambassador for heaven. You're to represent him. So I can guarantee you, everybody in this room has got somebody God wants you to carry this Christmas season. Do you understand? God looks at the people in this room and he says, I need you to carry somebody. There are people that are lost. There are people at work that are bitter. There are people in the neighborhood that are angry. Somebody's got to carry them with nothing in return. Today, who's God laid on your heart? Are you able to carry somebody and get nothing in return? Jesus is looking for Christians that can carry another. Maybe it's your mate. Maybe it's a child. We're going to have a word of prayer. Let's bow our heads. Word of prayer, if you would, please. Who's God asking you to carry today? We're going to have a word of prayer. Today, if you're a Christian, there's always someone God has for us to carry. Are you willing this morning? Are you available this morning? Are you able? Naomi, bitter, sorry old woman. But Ruth was her restorer of life. Lord Jesus, would you speak to our hearts this morning? Father, I know that we're here for a purpose. Would you help us to fulfill that purpose for your glory? It's Christmas time, Lord. Would you speak to our hearts this morning? In your precious name we pray. Amen.